On behalf of Father DiMartino and in my own name, I want to wish all of you a very happy 4th of July. And this morning, by way of this homily, I would like to concentrate my remarks this morning on the intersection between the freedoms that we enjoy as Americans and the faith that we profess as Catholics. There's a wonderful intersection between our freedom as Americans and the virtue of patriotism, which is extolled in many of the saints' writings. And what I want to do this morning is to walk us through an understanding of what freedom means classically, what it has come to mean in our country, and perhaps where the virtues can point us in a direction to go, to return to a more classical, originalist understanding of what freedom is all about. In the year 1776, when the founders of this country established this republic, there was something awfully unique about the establishment of the United States of America. You remember that most of our fathers, practically all of our forefathers, were immigrants from Europe, and they had come at least by knowledge of a system where man's rights were given to him because either the king said he had them, or the parliament said he had them, or the republic said you had them. But our founding fathers were different men. They knew that placing the crux of one's rights in the hands of fellow men was a dangerous project. So rather, they did some study and some introspection. And they came to realize, and they professed it very beautifully and eloquently in our foundational documents, that our freedoms do not come from man. They do not come to us because the king says we have them, because the parliament says we have them, or because the republic says we have them. Our freedoms come from God, and God alone. And this was a unique experiment, and I still call the idea of the United States an experiment, because it's not fail-proof, as we will see in a few moments. So that our founders then asserted that freedom is from God, and that we have obligation to protect these rights, not because man has given them to us, but because God himself has endowed us with these unalienable rights. Now, similarly, the Church's entire social doctrine, how we determine the morality of certain social questions, is based on this fundamental idea. In addition, that the human person is single and unique because we are created in the image and likeness of God. We're the only creatures in the entire created order like this, created in his very image and likeness. Moreover, because God has chosen to take on humanity, not the nature of a dog or a cat or a cow, but of man, he has elevated our human dignity to, before this moment, unforeseen heights. Therefore, as Catholics, we have an obligation, a duty, and a right to protect the rights, the basic human rights of every single man, woman, and child, born or unborn, matters not. Because we are deeply convicted that we are made in the image and likeness of God himself. Now, with these freedoms come immense responsibilities. And yet, freedom itself, unfortunately, today, is greatly misunderstood. In fact, it is very, very alarming to know that even the most learned of men in our society do not understand what freedom is really all about. Take 10 Americans today and ask them, what does it mean to be free? Most, if not all, answer something along the lines of this: I am free because no one can tell me what to do, when to do it, with whom to do it, or why to do whatever I want to do. Therefore, if I am not restricted Biblically speaking, the church has always understood freedom not to mean what to do whatever I want, but rather the capacity to do what I should, what I ought to do. You are practicing at this very moment your freedom of religion. On one hand, the state cannot restrict you by law to go to a certain church. You have the freedom to choose whatever church you want to go to. At the same time, you're practicing even a greater freedom because you're actually choosing to go to church because it is a capacity to do what you should. Your faith informs you that you have to gather with your believing community as a Catholic every Sunday. So what we have done with freedom, unfortunately, is that we have reduced it to a freedom from constraint, not a freedom for excellence. I'll give you another example. Like him or not, Tiger Woods is free to play golf. Now, is he free to play golf because he can step up to the tee box and swing the golf club any which way he likes? I can do that. And I can guarantee you, I am not really free to play golf. Tiger is free because he follows the rules of physics, hours of practice, discipline, and perseverance in a sport which is very unforgiving, with the smallest of adjustments made to one's hand when one takes a club and takes a golf swing. And any of you who play golf know exactly what I'm talking about. One bad grip, one bad takeaway, one bad backswing, into the woods we go. See, Tiger is free, certainly more free than I am, because he is excellent at what he does, at least on the golf course. That's what makes him free. Not because he just chooses to wield the club any which way he wants. And so it's important to remember what true freedom is. You see, if we become those who reduce freedom to mean caprice, that is, to do whatever I want without restriction, we soon find, actually, paradoxically, that we become enslaved to our passions. If I do not follow a moral code or an ethic that restrains me, then eventually I am not free. I become enslaved. Sometimes it goes so far as to become an addiction or a real psychosis, a mental problem. The third element I wanted to concentrate on is the relationship between freedom and the truth. Pope John Paul II, of happy memory, used to say this often in his pontificate, but it was a statement largely ignored, because I think most people didn't understand what he meant. If we understand freedom not to be caprice, to do merely what I want, but rather what it truly is, to do what I ought, John Paul reminded us that freedom can never, ever be separated from the truth. When we decide that our freedom is to do whatever we want without any mooring, any grounding, any reference whatsoever to the person who gave us our freedom, not the republic, not the king, not the state, but God himself, we go down a very, very dangerous path. This is the kind of place where tyranny by the strong rules and the weak are subject to extermination. Take the case, for example, of abortion. If someone decides that that's not a life, and the state says, you can say that if you like, you can do whatever you want to that child in the womb. It's up to you. Therefore, you are free. Are you really free? The nine most talented, well, at least some say, talented justices in the world ostensibly sit on our Supreme Court. Planetarium versus Case, which upheld Roe versus Wade, which in 1973 made abortion legal in this country, granting it federal protection. This is what they wrote. And ask yourselves, do they understand freedom or do they understand caprice? They wrote in the majority opinion in 1992, at the heart of liberty, freedom, is the right to define one's own concept of existence, of meaning, of the universe, and of the mystery of human love. At the heart of liberty is the capacity to define one's own existence, of the meaning of human life, of the universe, and in the mystery of life itself. Do you know how absolutely dangerous that is, freedom? When the individual gets to decide, without reference to the giver of the gift, what the mystery of life is all about, should we be surprised at all in our country that freedoms are so gravely abused? Did the founders really have flag burning at the heart of freedom of speech? So when they really thought, oh, this is really freedom, boy, you can do that. Pornography at the heart of freedom of speech. This is what they really thought was at the very heart of what we ought to do. You see, and just two simple cases, how we have changed freedom to mean caprice. That's what it means to most people today. And you see, my heart goes out for men and women in uniform, especially those who are trying to promote freedom. And I know that you're sworn to defend the Constitution. I understand that. But I'd really like to get in the minds of the upper echelon law officers and ask them, men and women, do you understand what you are really fighting for? What is the freedom you're trying to promote across the world? Do you really understand what that means? Because if they're fighting for caprice, we're not fighting for freedom at all. And in fact, I would submit that caprice, defining freedom, is among the most unpatriotic things one can do. To just to suddenly define one's own concept of existence, as the court said, apparently we can do. You know, many people in our country think that what is legal is moral. Imagine that. What is legal is moral. That is no way to define freedom at all. And so in fact, we find in fact that in so many areas of life, we are not free. Not free at all. We live under the guise of freedom. But in fact, in the heart of the gospel, we have become enslaved. Now, is that to say that we should somehow eliminate freedoms and the church should decide? No, not at all. But it is to say that if we are to survive, and this experiment of America is to thrive and continue, we do have to return to what our founders wanted. These were God-fearing men who believed honestly in the inclusion of one's faith life in the public discourse. But now we have such great fears of religion. You know, the separation of church and state was never envisioned to keep religion out of the public discourse. It was intended to protect religion from the state's intrusion, so that the state could not decide what religion one ought to practice. But you see, over time, all of these basic concepts, fundamental to our very existence as a nation, have been perverted. So is there hope? You bet. As long as there are folks like you out there who are educated, articulate, and committed to true ideals of freedom, especially as God has given them to us, there's always hope. And as long as God is still out there, we know He is, He's here in our very midst, He's very out there, there's always hope. But we have to, as a nation, I submit, embrace what true freedom is all about. not just merely about my capriciousness, but rather the capacity to do what I should. Let us pray today for our republic, for our country, for those who are so brave in defending it in many capacities, and those who are trying to promote it in parts of the world that are still hostile to the truth. My friends, when we say that freedom cannot be separated from the truth, we're reminded that truth is no longer an abstract idea. Truth is a person. His name is Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. What we believe in here is not just true for us. It's not private Catholic truth. But it's really at the heart of the truth about human existence. Let us pray today that in a country so great as ours, we may rediscover and teach those who are so distant from true concepts of freedom